Our first speaker is Professor Gurhapal Singh, who is the Dean of the Faculty of Arts and Humanities at the School of Oriental and African Studies here in London, and Professor in Interreligious Relations and Development in the Department of the Study of Religions at SOAS. He's a political scientist, completed his undergraduate and postgraduate degrees at LSE. Previously, he was the Deputy Director of the Religions and Development Research Program, which was a program funded by DFID, and held the Nadir Dinshaw Chair at the School of Philosophy, Theology and Religions at the University of Birmingham. Later on this month, Professor Singh will be an expert panelist in the 20th session of the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva, which aims to provide an informative and engaging exchange of views on the promotion of human rights in a multicultural context, including the need to combat xenophobia, discrimination and intolerance. Professor Singh has published extensively on multiculturalism and issues of managing religious diversity, about development and politics in India, Sikhism, as well as transnationalism and development. Professor Singh, thank you so much for being willing to kick off our discussion here, please.
Thank you for the introduction. Archbishop, members of the panel, invited guests, and I see quite a lot of friends in the audience. I'm delighted to be here today with you to share the launch of the DFID's Faith in Partnership Principle and to be a discussant on Faith, Poverty and Justice panel. I do so mainly as an academic, though occasionally I've been described as a thin Sikh. The academic background is in terms of the contribution to the Religions and Development Research Program at the University of Birmingham. I did have a PowerPoint to show you, but unfortunately, or rather fortunately, I think it's probably better that I extemporize what I was going to say. Will probably leave more room for discussion. I begin my talk with two caveats, in the sense that what I'm going to do is to highlight some lessons for the partnership in principles from the RAD project, and do so by just drawing on some of the key findings which I think might be interesting to the audience. And secondly, unlike the general discourse so far, I will use the term religion rather than faith. When we set up our research project in Nigeria, Tanzania, India and Pakistan, some of our southern partners objected strongly to the use of the term faith and found religion a more neutral concept. However, there will be some overlap when I refer to faith-based organizations. Our aim in RAD, that's Religion Development Program, was to examine the failure of mainstream development theory to address the role of religion in development. It was to also to explore aspects of religious traditions that may or may not impede development, and indeed may well support development. And finally, our aim overall was, as has been highlighted here today by the Secretary of State and Archbishop, is to improve the understanding of the interaction of religions and development, to provide better points of entry for both. Overall, therefore, the research questions was what are the roles of religion in development process today? In particular, this was addressed in two ways. How do religions and values and beliefs influence individuals and social groups, faith-based organizations, and how they see their own situation? And how do religions influence their actions and interactions? The second element of the project was in terms of the relationship between religious organizations, states, and societies, and how that is changing at the national and local level. To what extent religious actors and religious organisations were able to influence government policies and advance the goals of development. The programme, as I've mentioned, was set in four countries, India, Pakistan, Nigeria and Tanzania. It had 12 separate different projects. And some of these projects were comparative, others were case studies or country case studies, and were subdivided in terms of religious beliefs, governance, and the specific role of religious organisations. Now, what I'm going to do is just to highlight three aspects from this research. But before I do that, I do want to highlight an area which is of interest to me personally, and this was the initial mapping of faith traditions and their take on development. Archbishop has talked about the need for transformation being at the centre of development. And if you consult the papers on various traditions, on religions and development, you'll find that most emphasise this element. And there is, in the text at least, or even in lived religions, great deal of resource for policy analysts, academics and specialists to operationalise in this kind of work. One of the projects which focused on this theme of behaviour, of beliefs and values and how they influence individuals and groups' outlooks towards life was on well-being. The research for this work was taken in Bangladesh and in India. Interestingly, the outcomes emphasise that religion was in many ways important for people in providing a sense of moral order, for telling them or helping them distinguish between what is right and wrong. But the ideas of well-being, however, were not only influenced by religion. They were also mediated by sense of family and community. And it's important to recognise that the differences in people's responses or identification of what it is to be well varied according to other factors, and it might be in the research findings that religion was not the only important factor in sense of people's well-being. So one of the implications from this research, which is we would have liked to follow through further, is what it is essentially what is religion. You know, when you ask people about well-being, their sense of what religion is often tends to change with context. Secondly, one of the key findings that we found was that one needs to be cautious of these general assertions about the relationships between religion and well-being. It needs to be tested much more rigorously and analysed much more closely. The second theme that we looked at was the changing relationship between religions, politics and governance. And this was a theme for which I had an overview. Generally, when people talk about this subject, they, at least in the West, they talk about the return of religion. But in the South, in developing countries, religion has not really gone away. What has happened is a reassertion of traditional religious identities and more or less the demise of the post-independent secular state. With reference to the four countries, what we found was that religious actors, that is, religious organisations, political parties and social movements, had been able to mobilise in the last two or three decades for a variety of reasons, not only to do with the demise of the secular state, but one of the key findings was that with reference to the ability to deliver change for poor constituencies, institutional incentives and structures were important. For example, in the case of India, for low-caste religious parties, it was important that they were able to mobilize around affirmative action provision, or at least the support or the potential support for affirmative action provision. It was also important to recognize the changing relationship between state and religion in these countries, the attempts to make this relationship much closer, and the impact of that on democratization. And again, some of the findings that we came up, or the implications that we drew, were for one, for example, in Pakistan, that religious political parties, when they were in government, in this case in the Northwest Frontier Province, were not necessarily better at development than non-religious parties. Religious organizations had the potential to work better with other civil society organizations as well. The third theme that we looked at was the role of faith, role of religious organizations, and the role and what they do in terms of development and service delivery. And here I think there are some interesting areas that are common with the faith principles outlined. Firstly, we found that it was difficult when we tried to map faith-based organizations to actually draw a distinction between faith-based and secular organizations. And this had important implications. Secondly, the work of religious organizations varied enormously, and to some extent this was related to the different faith traditions and the different precepts of giving in those traditions. Thirdly, religious organizations in the main tended to be effective in providing emergency aid, but their commitment to long-term programs was rather limited. In the work that I was involved in, post-conflict reconstruction in Nigeria, Pakistan and India, we found that religious organizations were very helpful in the initial phase of reconstruction, but their contribution to long-term development and reconstruction and building what political scientists and social scientists might call social capital along inter-religious lines was rather constrained. So overall, one of our key concerns was that it's difficult to draw a distinction between faith-based organizations and non-faith-based organizations. Rather, the emphasis should be on what they do. One of the other key findings, which predated the principle, was we emphasized the need for guidelines for dealing with faith-based organizations for development, and that that these guidelines were important. So just to summarize some of the key issues, I think it's important to establish that guidelines for collaboration between religious groups or faith-based organizations and development agencies, and the criteria that has been used of transparency, mutual cooperation and respect is a good beginning. It's not the end. It's a beginning of a start of dialogue. It's also important, however, to recognize the context in which religious groups engage with development actors. And this varies enormously, and we must try to avoid imposing an understanding, our own understanding of what religion is. And finally, and needless to say, as an academic, there is really a need for much more detailed research of these interactions, of the interactions between religion and development. And indeed, when you really begin to unpack what religion and what development are, you find there is far more in common than there is than the difference. And too often, too easily, the difference is emphasized. Thank you.